I am Carolyn Yeager, and this is the Revisionist Report on Saturday, June 11th, 2011. Well, 11 is my special number, so this is going to be a special program. I'm going to talk about Himmler's Posen speech. Is it proof of extermination? A listener named Jerry wrote to me wanting to know what I think about this speech. He thinks it's the most telling piece of evidence in favor of the official extermination story, and therefore he wanted to know what arguments he could give against it, because he felt that he didn't really know what he could say about it. So he sent me a link to the page at www.holocausthistory.org/Himmler-Poznan, which is a Holocaust-believing website. Now, the big debate in what is wrongly called the Holocaust, it's wrongly called that in my opinion, is whether the Germans wanted to exterminate all Jews or only to move them out of Europe for all time. Now, I say it is the latter, and I say the correct name for what happened at that time is the expulsion. That's what it should be called, because Holocaust is a word that doesn't describe what actually took place. No one was Holocausted, and because they have taken on that term, and it wasn't taken on right away, that's part of the whole wrong thinking about what happened and the whole wrong history about it. Now, I'll say first that I have a lot to go through tonight. That's why I've just jumped right into it. And I will take callers later after, probably after the third break. So I'll give the number at that time. Now, to go on, you can't prove a negative. We can't prove something that didn't take place. But those who claim something did take place are required to prove it. So the claim that Himmler did indeed say these things in this speech does need to be demonstrated conclusively. Now, first, let me say again that the big problem the exterminationists have is that there is no Führer order. So they have fastened on some speeches from Heinrich Himmler, Reichsführer SS. SS stands for Schutzstaffel, a military organization dedicated to the personal protection of Adolf Hitler. And they have used these speeches that they supposedly found in the files in 1945 to substitute for this lack of any written or spoken order from Adolf Hitler. Now, the Führer order, you know, would be the order from the leader of the nation, where it would have to come from, that there was indeed that he had ordered this plan to destroy or exterminate or kill all the Jews that they could get their hands on, is the way the story goes. Because without that, without his order, nobody has the authorization to do it in the kind of government setup that they had there under National Socialism. So, but there never has been found one, which is something that they can't make up. They can't create one out of thin air, because at this late, at a later date from the time that the whole affair ended, it just wouldn't be convincing, because they wouldn't be able to do it right, so that people would believe it. So they are doing without this Führer order, and they went ahead with it based on mainly on witnesses, but they also, like along with the Himmler speeches, they also use the Wannsee Conference protocol. But this is even less convincing than the Himmler speech. All right, when we get back, we'll get into this in more detail.
Mm-hmm. The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each meal is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain meal, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain meal will be passed down through generation.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Hello again, ladies and gentlemen. I am back, and I am going to just continue here with Heinrich Himmler and his speech at Posen. Is it proof of extermination of the Jews? Now, Himmler gave two speeches in the German city of Posen, which is now in Poland, and it is named Poznan, but I'm going to continue to call it Posen because that's what it was at the time all this took place. And this was in October 1943. The war in the East was raging at this time, and, you know, by October 43, Germany was no longer doing as well as they had been before in the war, and so things were pretty tense. You know, I mean, this was a fight for your life here in this Eastern Front. Now, the first speech that Himmler gave, he gave on October 4th before 92 SS officers, and it was in the town hall in Posen, and yet it's called a secret speech. Here's one of the things I need to point out right off the bat. I don't think it was a secret speech, but the Holocaust believers have called it a secret speech, that they are both secret speeches, because of the things that he said in this speech, which he would not have said outwardly, and he spoke of it as being kind of secret. So, but he did give it in the town hall, and in fact, I think they even had, they were right off the kitchen, and in the room there, because there, at some point there was a little disturbance that maybe some people, help from the kitchen, were coming in. Maybe they were going to be eating, having a meal there later, or maybe they had it before. Who knows? But this does not, this just, the whole setting is not anything like a secret speech. So, and then he gave a second speech 2 days later on October 6th in Posen. I don't know if it was in, this one was in also in the town hall. It doesn't say. I haven't found it anywhere, but probably. And this one was before Reichsleiters and Gauleiters, which are ministers, government ministers and high party officials and so on, and other government representatives. So the first one was for SS officers, and the second one was for government and party representatives. So the exterminationist teaches that, oh, now this is the first thing that doesn't make too much sense. Although the genocide of the Jews was not the central topic of either of these, both rather quite long speeches, Himmler did away with the usual camouflage terms and spoke explicitly of the extermination of the Jews and implicated himself and the entire Nazi party in mass murder. Now, this does not make, this doesn't speak well of Heinrich Himmler, who was not known to be a stupid man or to be careless, and he had never done this before, but now suddenly, at these two speeches, he has kind of thrown away thrown caution to the winds and talked about extermination. Now, the usual camouflage terms refers to the fact that the exterminationists tell us that that even though the Nazis never used this kind of language, even though they never talked about putting people in gas chambers or never talked about extermination or never used that kind of language, they say that the language they did use was like a code language, which they really meant these things, but they didn't use the words because, you see, it was all a big secret thing. It was a secret undertaking, and nobody was, only a few people knew about it, they say, on the one hand, and then on the other hand, they say everybody knew about it. But in this case, for some reason, Himmler didn't use this special language, and he just came out with it. Now, why would he do this? There's no good reason. Was he nuts? And what's more important, why would his audience, who were high-ranking officers, as I just described them to you, sit there calmly and listen to him and allow him to do it if everybody knew that this was all had to be a big secret? So right there, we have a problem. Now, this problem comes from, points out the fact that we've been taught to see Nazis as not like everyone else. So things that no one else would do, we would say, well, this is not reasonable behavior. Well, when it comes to a Nazi, well, we don't expect them to be reasonable. We expect them to do crazy things. We expect them to be carried away with their passions and just not controlling themselves. But while on the other hand, they were super controllers, But again, this is the way we're taught not to question when it comes to what we're told that Nazis did. And I want to bring up, too, and bring to your attention the Osama bin Laden tapes. It's just one example of how we know that we've had tapes, we've had recordings of people's supposedly speaking that we know were fake. They were faked. We certainly have the technology to create entire speeches out of previous words of someone on tape or by using someone who could imitate the voice of that person. That also can be done. And while this technology called voice morphing has become far more sophisticated, no doubt, in our time, they had that ability in 1945, because this, I will go on and explain a few more things which will make this point make more sense to you. So, I'm not going to go into any more examples of the voice morphing, which I have here, but let me tell you that until 1970, the first speech was the only one that was known. The second speech was not found until 1970. Now, this raises some suspicion in itself, because they had confiscated all those files, Heinrich Himmler's files, in 45, and supposedly, and there were bits and pieces of other speeches by him. And there were just some scraps and bits and pieces of his second speech, the October 6th speech. But in 1970, they had a, I've got that a little further down, so I'll wait till I get to that. Somebody found a U.S. Army, somebody working there, a historian, managed to come up with the entire speech in 1970. So now the speech of October 4th was 3 hours long. And as I said before, it was before 92 SS officers. Now, out of this 3 hours long speech, only 2 minutes of the speech concerns the destruction of the Jews. Now, this is kind of odd right there. Now, why in this long speech that he's talking about lots of different things to the SS, does he suddenly include 2 minutes of secret stuff that he's never talked about before and that is not supposed to be talked about? All right. Now, his practice, Himmler's practice, was to have stenographers take down his speeches in shorthand, and then they were typed up. And he read over the typed transcript and approved it and made notes if he wanted to, and then he signed it that he had approved it, and then it was filed away. Now, before 1943, even, he had started having recordings made as he spoke. The Germans were advanced in recording technology, and they started recording some of the speeches. And this speech, we're told, was recorded. And the Allies, the Americans, found the recording, and they have the recording. And a transcript was also typed from the recording. Now, Udo Walendi is a German researcher, historian, that questions all these facts. And he has written that these files were discovered in early summer 1945, but only one of the secret talks by Himmler was presented at the International Military Tribunal, the one that I'm not talking about, the first one of October 4th, and it was given a number PS1919, and they played it there, and it was claimed to be found in Alfred Rosenberg's files. Now, no one questioned Rosenberg about this document. They didn't want to question him about it because he probably would have said that he didn't have that in his files, because he had said that of another document found in his files that they did question him about, he denied that that document came from his files. And Arthur Butz has written that, in our judgment, the prosecution did not submit one bit of evidence that the voice was that of Himmler during this IMT trial. They played it, and they asked somebody if they thought that was Himmler, someone who was close to Himmler, and he said no, he that was not Himmler. And then they played it again, this particular part, and then he said, well, it might be Himmler, and that was good enough for them. Then they accepted it as being Himmler for sure, and that's all the questioning or all the authenticity that that has been given to these to this recording. I mean, it hasn't been argued, it really hasn't been demonstrated that they're authentic. However, the first speech consists of 115 pages of the final typewritten edition. This is what was submitted at Nuremberg, and also this live recording that they have. And now, before Himmler gets to the extermination part, he comments on the deaths of millions of Soviet prisoners of war and forced laborers, and he speaks of how the eradication of the Slavic Untermensch is a historical and natural necessity. Now, I find it real hard to believe he would say these things on a recording, and I'm going to go through this portion with you now and tell you why. This comes right before the worst part, which is about the extermination, but this part is important also because it points to the fact, to me, that it's not actually Himmler saying these things, because I don't believe he would say these things. The point is, they are the type of things that the Holocausters push that he does say. You know, this is the type of things that they say were done. And so it's kind of obvious for that, but I'll have to wait until we come back from this break to continue.
Attention RBN listeners, the freeze-dry guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees. But we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program. Use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093. 583-1093.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Carolyn Yeager, and I'm now at the portion that Himmler supposedly is speaking previously to the most important section of this speech, to the Holocausters, and he's talking about the Slavs and the non-Germans. So he says, our basic principle must be the absolute rule for the SS men, which is we must be honest, decent, loyal, and comradely to members of our own blood and to nobody else. Now, I don't believe he said this because it was the policy of SS to be honest always and to be decent always. And the other two, you would just be to your own comrades. But that doesn't sound like something that he would say. Then he goes on, what happens to a Russian, to a Czech, does not interest me in the slightest. Well, this again is not the philosophy of the SS and never was. And also for Himmler to say, what happens to a Russian or a Czech does not interest me in the slightest. He is encouraging or giving the freedom to his men to do whatever they want to Russians and Czechs or anybody else. And that we know that's not the case because we know they were harshly punished when they mistreated someone, even Jews. But unless this means, you know, in battle, but why would he even say that? Why would he say, well, in battle, what happens to the enemy I don't care about. Well, of course, you know, there would be no point in saying a thing like that. Then he supposedly goes on, what other nations can offer in the way of good blood of our type? We will take, if necessary, by kidnapping their children and raising them here with us. Well, he would never say kidnapping their children. They didn't believe they didn't think they were kidnapping anyone, and they weren't kidnapping. If there were children who parents were died or were sent to camps or something, and they thought they would, you know, could fit in German society, and they put them in German society, they did that. That was better than killing these children, wasn't it? Or putting them in camps. But they didn't consider it kidnapping, and he would never say those words. But this is the kind of charge that's made against them, and that's why it's kind of interesting that it's stuck in here. Now, going on, whether nations live in prosperity or starve to death interests me only so far as we need them as slaves for our culture. Well, Nazis didn't believe in slaves. They didn't actually want slaves in their culture. They didn't want foreigners in their culture all that much. The reason that they had workers, what's called slave laborers, during the war was because they had, all the men were fighting, all the people were fighting, and women were even doing war work. So they needed labor, and that's why they did force people to go and work as laborers. They weren't slaves. Now, otherwise, it's of no interest to me, he says. Well, you know, now he says, whether 10,000 Russian females fall down from exhaustion while digging an anti-tank ditch interests me only insofar as the anti-tank ditch for Germany is finished. Well, that's all nonsense. He would not be saying that to this group of people in this speech, which was about a lot of issues that they were concerned with. It just doesn't make sense. Now, let's go on to the next portion of this speech, which is the real portion that's in question. Now, supposedly Himmler says, I also want to mention a very difficult subject before you hear, completely openly. It should be discussed amongst us, and yet, nevertheless, we will never speak about it in public. Now, this doesn't make sense, because why is he going to say, well, now I'm going to say something I've never said before, we should discuss it, but nevertheless, we'll never speak about it in public. Well, they were practically in public, so this thing was being recorded, and there were going to be copies made of it. So this doesn't fit good sense. Now he goes on, just as we did not hesitate on June 30th to carry out our duty as ordered and stand comrades who had failed against the wall and shoot them. Now he's referring to way back in 1934, the Rome Putsch, or what's called the Night of the Long Knives, when they cleaned out some of the, when they had a, well, I'm not even going to, you can look it up. But he's referring to that clearly, June 30th, that's when it was. And he says, about which we have never spoken and will never speak. But that's silly, because to say that they never spoke of it, they did speak of it. And it's certain they did talk about it. So that's kind of doesn't make sense. And then supposedly Himmler goes on, and that was, thank God, a kind of tact natural to us, a foregone conclusion of that tact, that we have never conversed about it among ourselves, never spoken about it. Everyone shuddered, and everyone was clear that the next time he would do the same thing again if he were commanded and necessary. I don't know why he would go on and on about that, and you might question that too. I am talking about the Jewish evacuation, he says next. This is the real kernel of it. I am talking about the Jewish evacuation, in quotes, then the extermination of the Jewish people. Now, he is changing the subject abruptly from the Rome Putsch in 1934 to the Jewish evacuation going on now. And also, he uses the word Jewish evacuation, which in the German, well, have to take another break, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back, and we'll take calls in the next segment.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that if you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. Using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
All right, this is Carolyn Yeager, and we do have a call from Rick, but I'm going to finish what I have started here, and then I'll take Rick's call. I was talking about the difference, the use of the term Jewish evacuation and the extermination in this sentence, supposedly in Himmler's speech. And I said that he changes it, but I also said that Judenweigerung, I don't have time to even think about how to pronounce that properly, was not in quote marks in the original typewritten pages of this speech, but it is this website put it in quote marks. It put Jewish evacuation in quote marks, and then the extermination is not. So it makes it appear that Jewish evacuation is kind of a euphemism or is an ironic. It's not what was really meant, but extermination is what was really meant. That's the kind of thing they do to help along their argument. You know, they're always making, doing things. And most people who would look at this, they would have no idea that it wasn't the way it was in the original. Now, Himmler also said it is one of those things that is easily said. And he's like quoting a German, the Jewish people is being exterminated. Every party member will tell you, perfectly clear, as part of our plans, we're eliminating the Jews, exterminating them. Ha, a small matter. Well, this is very important that the word plans is being used because actually the word in the German is program. And in German, you translate program into English program. You don't translate it into our plans. So that's another error that this website is making. It isn't made everywhere, but it's made here. The fact is that he's clearly talking about the National Socialist Party. It says every party member will tell you it's part of our program. But the National Socialist Party program, as everybody sitting there in the audience would know, did not even mention Jews in the party program anywhere. So this is a mistake that was made by the people, I think, who had messed around with this speech and added these parts to it. Now, another important part of this that I will mention is that Himmler is saying, and then they all come along, and you've heard this before from Goebbels and maybe even from Hitler, this saying, that they all come along, that it's all the Germans and all the 80 million upright Germans, and each one has his decent Jew. They say all others are swine, but here is a first-class Jew, and none of them have seen it, has endured it. Most of you will know what it means when 100 bodies lie together, when there are 500 or when there are 1,000. And to have seen this through, and with the exception of human weaknesses, to have remained decent has made us hard and is a page of glory never mentioned and never to be mentioned. Now, what I realize is that this mentioning these bodies after saying that the 80 million Germans all have their own, you know, one good Jew that they want to save. This could be, he could be talking about German military dead, that we have seen what has happened to our comrades, these 100 bodies, 500 bodies, 1,000 bodies. And even though, you know, this could make us want to retaliate in kind, this could make us want to be as brutal and because the resistance fighters were very, very brutal and brutish. And this could make us do the same or get us carried away and do emotional things, not follow orders, not go about things in the way in a military fashion. But we have remained decent. This could very well, he could very well have said that and meant this, because he is saying that, rather than retaliate to such provocation, they have continued to follow the manner of fighting that they were carrying out. So, all right, let's take Rick. Hi, Rick.
Hello, Carolyn. You know, if I was a Jew, I would call you and go head to head with you on what you're speaking about. But I don't hear any Jews calling you. So they must believe what you're saying. And even if they had one fact of truth with you on the Holocaust, we could go into a plethora of other subjects, such as who controlled slavery. You know, we have movies that have been done about whites bringing the slaves here, and it was all Jews. And people can see this right in front of their face, and they are not even disgusted about it. And then we have our Congress giving Netanyahu dozens of standing ovations. Our grocery stores are full of kosher food.
You know, porn is controlled by Jews here. I appreciate what you're saying, but I would like you to stick with just this, even though you might want to talk about other things, because I don't have.
My point is,
I have more information I'd like to give on this.
Okay. Okay.
On this Posen speech.
You know, you don't have to catch these people with feathers on their mouth, you know, in the chicken coop. Every time they're involved, they are always guilty. There is just no two ways about it in all of these subjects. And it's our move now. We are supposed to respond to this. Okay, thank you. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Rick. Thanks for calling. All right, I want to move on now to the October 6th speech, which Himmler gave. And now I want to tell you that the people in the audience for this speech, which I told you were Reichsleiters and Gauleiters and assorted people like that, included Albert Speer, a very high up minister of armaments of the German Reich, Alfred Rosenberg, who was a high level minister, Axmann, who was in charge of Jews in foreign lands, and Karl Dönitz, the admiral of the Kriegsmarine, the top military man in the Navy. German Navy, and Erhard Milch, who was right under Goering in the Luftwaffe. So these were high-level people, and supposedly Himmler is saying some things in this speech that I think these men would have been rather upset to hear him saying these things, and I don't think they would have just sat there and allowed it while he was doing his, let's do some confession here kind of business. So, but let me go back to Udo Walendi now about this speech. He had a chance to look this over. And when he, in the U.S. Rolls, you know, the archive rolls and so on. And what he found for the October 6th speech were some handwritten notes made by Himmler, which I'll describe. And then he found there were two different typewritten copies of the speech. There was no recording of this speech, but they had the stenographers were there taking notes, and then it was typed up. And what happened was they were two different, the two typewritten copies were quite different. One was typed with a German typewriter that had the SS, you know, in that funny kind of a symbol, and the way the Germans always did it. And it was 27 pages long with the handwritten note attached. And the other one was typed with a foreign typewriter and just had a regular SS, not the special symbol. And it was 49 pages. So, and neither one of them had a signature by Heinrich Himmler, neither one of them. And there was nothing about him being a certified copy. It was just a piece of paper with his typing on it. And thus, for all intents and purposes, it's of no historical value, really, when it's in that form. Now, in his notes, he said his speech was going to be about the Eastern Front, partisans and gangs, about sabotage and enemy spies, about the Jewish question, that is, individuals, singles with a question mark, married and half Jews, that is, you know, who was a Jew, who wasn't a Jew or something. Four, defeatism, Mussolini's arrest, etc. Five, the party as a role model. Six, his appointment as Minister of the Interior. And then seven, solving problems, referring to his new job as Minister of the Interior. And eight, the Waffen-SS. So this were the subjects for his talk. But for some reason, he decided to add this in a couple minutes of talk that didn't really that you would think that those high level people would not have wanted to hear him saying. So he according to the to these records, U.S. records, he says, "I asked of you that which I say to you in this circle be really only heard and not ever discussed. We were faced with the question, what about the women and children? I decided to find a clear solution to this problem too. I did not consider myself justified to exterminate the men, in other words, to kill them or have them killed or allow the avengers of our sons and grandsons in the form of their children to grow up. The difficult decision had to be made to have these people disappear from the earth. For the organization which had to execute this task, it was the most difficult which we ever had. I felt obliged to you as the most superior dignitary, as the most superior as the most superior dignitary of the party, this political order, this political instrument of the Führer, to also speak about this question quite openly and to say how it has been. The Jewish question in the countries that we occupy will be solved by the end of this year. Only remainders of odd Jews that manage to find hiding places will be left over." He's speaking about in the occupied areas, hiding places in the occupied areas. If he said this at all, which I doubt. Now, just imagine, he's giving a talk about all these important things about his position as head of the SS, and then he decides he's going to just spill out all this and say, why? I mean, he would have to. Really, it doesn't fit. That's all. That's all I can say. And I'm going to go ahead and not belabor that, but talk about some more things here the extermination. Talking about the extermination of Jews, women, and children, there is no reason for him to want to do that. And he also told them that they were to take this secret to their graves. If it's a secret, they're to take their graves. Why is he talking about it? And having it be taken down in shorthand at this big meeting and then typed up, and then the type sheets are there in these files, supposedly, that the Allies find, that either are, wherever they found them, at the IMT they said they came out of Rosenberg's office, but Rosenberg denied that, actually. So, well, let's see here. No one, now let's talk about the people who were present that they were able to interview. Says no one of those present seems to have remembered any of these kind of remarks, and we don't know all who were present, but there are Dr. Wilhelm Steglich did find two of them who were, and he asked them about it, and the they were one was a Gauleiter. He found two Gauleiters. They were party leaders, and neither could remember Himmler talking about this kind of a solution. One of them was named Wahl, W-A-H-L, and he told Steglich that Himmler would not have been stupid enough to record this, even if he said it, which he doubts. And another member of the audience, maybe in the other one, I'm not sure, but he was SS Obergruppenführer Gottlob Berger. He denied, and he was at the IMT. He was put on the witness stand. And he denied that Himmler was talking about the extermination of the Jews in the speech he attended at all. He also he's the one who didn't recognize Himmler's voice when they played it on the tape. And he had said, now here's a quote from him. I can say with certainty that he did not speak about the Ausrottung of the Jews, because the reason for this meeting was to equalize and adjust these tremendous tensions between the Waffen-SS and the police. But, you know, they disregarded what he said, because as soon as they got him to say that, well, the voice that he listened to on the first speech might be Himmler's, then that was enough for them. And they didn't ask him anymore, and they decided to enter that into evidence as the actual voice of Himmler. Now, part of it would have been Himmler. You know, it's not that hard, as I already said, to mimic another person's voice when you have all the talent you can hope to find all around you. Now, one other thing I want to say about this is that if the Nazis really wanted to exterminate Jewry, why didn't they sterilize the Jews? You know, I recently was talking about this, the book Germany Must Perish, because Arthur Topham wrote an article called Israel Must Perish, in which he took that book by Theodor Kaufman, which was published in 1941, an American Jew, who wrote this horrible book about how the answer to Germany's warmongering was to sterilize every German. And he actually put that forward, and lots of people were agreeing with him at the time. So, and that is the way to do it, because then you don't have to kill anybody. You don't have to go through all that secrecy stuff. You don't have to do all that baloney that supposedly the Germans did with gas chambers and so on. And I mean, sterilize them. And once they're sterilized, they can still work. They can still be laborers until the end of their life. And then you're done with them. They will slowly die out there. That makes all the sense in the world. Now, Germans weren't stupid, and they didn't really like to be have a big messes on their hands of how to bury all these bodies and so on. So why wouldn't they have done that? That is the obvious thing. Why didn't they? Because they didn't. They weren't intending to kill all the Jews. Genocide was not their intention. They felt that that was un-German. That was not something that Germans would ever do to another people, and their plan was evacuation or expulsion of the Jews out of Europe. And I guess they really overestimated, or didn't realize, maybe not none of us would until we'd actually tried to do it, how difficult such a thing is. People resist that very much. And but that's what they thought they could do, and that's what they tried to do. And the camps, the labor camps, were that. Once, as I already pointed out, once the war was really going, and they needed more and more of the Germans to be in the war effort, fighting, all the men, that they needed laborers. And so then there was there were all these Jews that they were wanting to evacuate, you know, expel out into the east. So, well, here they would bring them back or build these camps in Poland and put them to work for the in the manufacturing plants and so on. This is common sense. And everything else about this big story is not common sense. So let me go on to another caller here. We've got John from California. Are you there, John?
Hello there, Carolyn. How are you?
I'm fine.
Well, that's good. I hear some music in the background.
Yeah, we'll go ahead for a second, and then we'll finish when we come back from the break.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to talk a little bit about the 100 bodies, 500 bodies, 1,000
bodies. Oh,
great.
Okay. Well, okay. I think we have to stop now. We'll be right back.
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Terravim. Terravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesen, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Terravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices. This is in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372 or visit terravim.com.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees. Just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
This is an important message from hempusa.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit hempusa.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid three times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
Last segment, and John is on the line. And John, go ahead with what you wanted to say.
Yeah, Carolyn, there's just so much involved here. I called Deanna Spingola's show, I think it was late last week, when she had the guest Eric Hunt, and I was just trying to make the case to them about this speech in Posen, which is the subject of your show today. I got blindsided by this by someone that I was trying to express some thoughts to about regarding the Jewish Hall of Fraud or Hall of Hoax, whatever you want to call it. And he threw this one video at me, and I started doing some research, and I didn't know what to make of it. I tried looking at some various sources, including Carlos Porter and and my former college electrical engineering professor, Dr. Arthur Butts. And I just couldn't find anything that tried to address it in the detail that you're doing orally in your show today, which I think is very good. I was suggesting, when you're talking about those bodies and how Himmler was suggesting this could be a source of pride, I was thinking it's this double-edged sword. In other words, if a lot of people knew what happened in World War One and how Germany was betrayed by Jews from Russia that they welcomed with open arms, and then after fighting 2 years from 1914 to 1916, and maybe not winning overwhelmingly, but certainly not losing most of the battles, and at least playing them, pretty close, mm-hmm. or maybe being in charge ultimately, because ultimately Russia decided they didn't want any part of World War One, and several other countries backed out of World War One, and England was on the ropes, and Kaiser Wilhelm offered England a treaty of peace. All they wanted was the territories that they originally had. And the whole reason for the outset of World War One had nothing to do with, those evil Huns cutting off the hands of Belgian girls.
No, it didn't.
It had to do with, it went back to Otto von Bismarck, who in 1871 united a lot of the various nation states.
In the last 2 weeks we were going through all that.
When they did that, of course, then now they're competing with Merchant Marine for the various trade routes of the two biggest protagonists in the history of the world for the previous 1,000 years, France and England. And it should be suspicious to people that France and England even went on the same side for a change in World War One.
Now back to these bodies. I think that Himmler did give these speeches, but I think these sections have been tampered with for sure.
Okay.
And this material was in the hands of the Allies all along, and they only worked on the one speech by the time of 46, and later, and I think in a trial in 48 or so. But the other part of it, it took them until 1970 to come out with it and say, oh, well, now we found in here another whole entire speech. So that's pretty suspicious. But the fact that the Germans put up with what they had to deal with, so much against them, so much horrors against them, and that they did continue to remain decent and to uphold the proper way to do things and not to retaliate in kind.
Okay, Carolyn, the overall point I was trying to make, one of them was that by this double-edged sword, by trying to educate people as to what really happened in World War One, which most people don't know about, how they were betrayed by international Jewry, when the Balfour Agreement, and so on, all of a sudden the U.S. comes into the war in 1916, boom, that's all for Germany, and led to the Treaty of Versailles, which was their undoing. They might have had some bad feelings toward the Jews, and all that would mean is that a lot of people that are trying to convince will see that there's motivation for someone to try to exterminate the Jews, but on the other hand, I don't believe that because of what,
they have to show that these things actually happened. And all they do is show, we have to go. Time is up.
Okay, Carolyn, nice to talk to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, John. We'll talk again next week.